You're listening to CKUT, broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at ckut.ca. I'm Jules Bujal. Projet Montréal came under fire last week for its social housing policy. Ensemble Montréal says that 2 years into a program promoting affordable housing from private developers, not a single unit has been built. The RMM bylaw requires large new housing developments to have 20% social housing, 20% affordable housing, and 20% family housing. According to data shared by Ensemble Montréal, every developer has chosen to pay rather than meet the bylaw's criteria. The opposition party calls the program a failure. But there's one neighborhood in the city where those 20% targets for social housing are actually a bit conservative. That's Pointe Saint-Charles. Or at least so says Nicolas Harvest of the Regroupement Information Logement, also known as The Real. It's a tenants' rights organization that helps place residents of the Pointe into social housing. Last Wednesday, August 23rd, they led community members on a walk to show gentrification in the Pointe, as well as historic wins over social housing and community-led spaces.
Us in Pointe Saint-Charles, we know what the solution to the housing crisis is, and it's social housing. Because we have such a huge park of social housing here, or huge stock of social housing, we tend to see a lot of poor people, a lot of native pointers that are here that wouldn't be able to live here if we didn't have social housing, right? Come July 1st, we have less problems in terms of homelessness, we have less problems in terms of evictions, rent evictions, you know? So the second you socialize a commodity like housing that is vital, that people need to survive, you offer them a service that can drastically change their lives.
When it comes to social housing, Pointe Saint-Charles has used its history as an overlooked working-class borough to its advantage.
So Pointe Saint-Charles is the second oldest neighborhood in Montreal. It was a predominantly industrial, working-class neighborhood. A lot of the factories that were in the Pointe and employed a lot of the men of the Pointe were found on the canal. Around the 60s and 70s, the federal government closed the canal, which meant that the factories in the canal had to shutter as well, which caused a mass exodus of the population. Let's say like a third of the population left the neighborhood, which meant that you have a lot of old buildings that are not being maintained, no one's living in them, and they're just degrading, you know, day by day. So my group, The Real, and other community groups in the neighborhood ended up buying a bunch of these units, socializing them, so ripping them away from the private market and offering them back to the citizens as, like, you know, a public utility. So Pointe Saint-Charles per capita has the highest amount of social housing in the country, and that's because of that process. And our job now is to keep that rolling and keep it going and continue stacking our social housing stock as much as possible.
While community groups like The Real have been the prime movers in socializing the housing stock in the Pointe, Harvest says they've also made use of government programs in the past.
We have around 50 co-ops and an innumerable amount of nonprofits here in Pointe Saint-Charles. And because of the government programs that were in the past, like Accès, for example, a huge portion of that was subsidized housing. So we're talking about removing a certain price of rent, fixing it to 25% of people's annual revenue, which saves people. You know, with people who are on social aid, people that are poor, on employment insurance, this is a resource that generally keeps them off the street, which is what our main goal is, you know, making sure people have a house, because we think that everyone should have a right to have a place to stay.
But Harvest says the current provincial government's approach to housing is at odds with theirs. The CAQ has ended the Accès Logis program, and a hot rental market makes it harder to find landlords willing to accept tenants with provincial rent subsidies. Even the Pointe is being hit hard by the housing crisis in Montreal.
To us, gentrification kind of looks like a classic steamroller of going down the main street, developing commerces to be as luxurious and as inaccessible as possible to people that live here, and then offering a new service to people that are more well-off, that are new in the neighborhood, and that want to displace the people that are poor and working class in this neighborhood, right? But it's a slow progress on their part because of us and because of the mass amount of social housing we have here. That's another great reason to invest in social housing. It ends up being a bulwark against rampant speculation.
Despite a high concentration of social housing, some organizers say it's not enough to keep a pace with private development.
We continue to ask for more social housing. We have like 200 new apartments in the point that are social housing. We always work on about that, but we cannot face the speed of a real estate development.
Speaking now is Margot Silvestro, a community organizer at the Point St. Charles Community Clinic. She's lived in the Point for 17 years now and is seeing some of her neighbors priced out of the borough.
We see a lot of like old people who owns a house and they cannot afford it, and they cannot afford the renovations, so they have to sell their houses. So we see a lot of old people from the Point, former workers, people who were in the Point since a long time, and they are pushed out. So they just disappear. And suddenly you have a new family, middle class, with one dog and one kid and a Tesla.
Silvestro is also a co-founder of Batiment Set, a collective-run arts and community space in the Point that came about after a 10-year fight over an empty building. She shares advice for Montrealers looking to learn from the Point success.
The thing in Point St. Charles is that we want to stay there. We live here. We're going to live here for like 20 more years. So it's a local protest from people who lives in the territory. So I think that the advice is like, don't stop and fight locally with the people around you.
Yeah, this land, most of it's going to be used for the building. And then where we stand is probably going to be the entrance.
One of the stops on Wednesday's walk was an old Irish school on an overgrown lot at 1295 Rue de la Prairie. In a few years, it'll be the new home to four community organizations who are losing their current buildings. Desiree Noor-Duchesne is the chargée de développement for La Petite Maison sur la Prairie, the organization in charge of the building project. She says that Point St. Charles is unlike anywhere else she's worked in the city.
In Point St. Charles, community organizations are really politically engaged and are fighting gentrification and are having a discourse that I don't really see often in Montreal, actually. I know some neighborhoods like Schlaga have kind of a similar discourse on gentrification, for example. Point St. Charles has such a long history on that, and we can see here how that's transposed also in like the different level of organization. Like there's so much community housing, so many organization and like grassroots organization that all works kind of together, which is really beautiful and kind of really, really rare, with such a level of intensity for like many years that we can still see the effect in the neighborhood of that.
The uniqueness of the Point makes projects like this possible. But Nicholas Harvest says that shouldn't stop other neighborhoods from organizing this way too.
When I know the RMM law is kind of bad, and it is very, very bad, but when a developer builds a condo, you as a citizen or as a member of a community can use your leverage and your housing rights committee to push that developer to include a certain portion of social housing. In the Point, before the RMM, we successfully negotiated up to like 45% inclusion rates. With the RMM now, it's a bit harder because the developers know they can cap it at 20 and then we're done. But that's a very good, you know, never to leave an empty chair at the table and always bring kind of the desires of the citizens to these developers to be like, you have to do this. This is going to happen. You have no choice. And we've had wide success with it.
Wednesday's walk ended with a community barbecue outside of Batiment Set. For Duchesne, events like these are also an important part of community organizing.
People love having a good time and finding joy in the activism. And I think that's really important too. Like the walk is itself, like it's not like a big militant action. Sometimes you have to choose the things, and it's okay to walk on the sidewalk if at the end of the day, you want to bring awareness and more like collective action of what actually is going on in the neighborhood. So for us, it's a picnic, and bringing all the orgs that are inside of the space we want to build, we want to create a community. So we're like inviting people to come at our barbecues and meet us, basically.
I'm Jules Bijal. Thanks for listening.